141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Scottish Premiership action. Celtic take on Aberdeen at Pittodrie, which would be a big game under any circumstances, but this is the game in hand for Celtic at the top of that table. Last night at the other end, Dundee United beat St Mirren by 2-1 at Tannadice, and Scotland women got off to a winning start in their World Cup qualification campaign. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, we've got that Partick Thistle duo back. We just keep booking them every week in the hope that one week they'll have fallen out that day at training, and then we get to marvel in the awkwardness at 6 o'clock. Tony Watt and Alex Ray, still pals?
Yeah, I have to say it was a good day. We had a good laugh at training today. Really enjoyed it. Sun was out, so nothing to report, Gordon. Just looking forward to the Celtic match tonight. It's a real opportunity for to close a gap. I was at the Dundee United game last night. Not a great pitch to play on, but a really important 3 points for Jim Goodman's men.
Is that Scottish football in a nutshell? The sun's out for the first day in 6 months, so that's like a big thing. It's like circle that day in the diary that it came out at training for the first time in 6 months.
You can feel it from everybody. Honestly, the place is in such a better mood. And no, it's embarrassing. We need to wait till March to get a bit of sunshine. And it was actually 15 degrees on my car yesterday, which I couldn't believe. It's been, what, 3-4, so long may it continue. 15 degrees will take for the next couple of months.
We promise we'll talk about football, not the weather, yes, at some point between now and 8 o'clock. Was it Saturday's old scouting mission, head of the cup, Dundee United?
Very much. So we wanted to have a little look at St Mirren, and we're familiar with the most of the personnel and things. It was just an important one to try and get eyes on prior to this game on Sunday.
Ideal if players will score own goals and give away penalties in the manner that they did.
Well, do you know the thing is, we were up at the far end of the other... Where Fraser scored the own goal, and I was like, what happened there? Because it was such a far way. It looked as if he was in control. He might have got a little nudge.
I think there was a nudge.
Enough of a nudge to do that.
I think it's just put him off. I think sometimes you're jumping expecting a nudge. He doesn't do it enough, and he's been caught.
You did that again, by the way, for the people on YouTube. He's gave it the old neck.
Were you there with the gaffer, with Mark Wilson?
Yes.
Did they roll out the red carpet for him? Is he a Dundee United legend?
Absolutely. They were opening the doors and everything for him, and I'm like, oh, who's this wee guy you brought along with him? But it was great hospitality. It was lovely to see Maurice Malpass and Paul Hegarty, some proper legends up there as well. So it was a good night.
Good advice for you, right? If you are going up there, drop Mark Wilson's name and not Tony Watt's.
Well,
right,
I said that
you got
to
him promoted,
you.
No?
Well, obviously,
single-handed,
and we got to Europe. We were seventh when I first signed, and we finished fourth. But I won't mention that. I said to you yesterday.
So it's the ending that sticks in people's minds.
If you don't want to get into the game because it might not be the best of spectacles, then just say my name at the door, and you'll get sent away.
All right. 01419511025. Maybe you are want to discuss that game last night. I would quite like to hear from you, St Mirren fans. I've been kind of gently asking over the last couple of weeks, couple of nights, but really now, another defeat. How are you feeling about that picture down at the bottom of the table? I think everybody, well, my old pal Marvin Bartley's not listening, everybody seems to keep telling us that Livingston are gone, and then when you look above that, is it between St Mirren and Kilmarnock now? Is that it for that relegation playoff spot? And if so, how are you feeling about that, St Mirren fans? Because unthinkable, given what you've done in the league the last couple of seasons, unthinkable given that you won the League Cup so impressively earlier on in the campaign. How are you feeling now after that last night? There were a few big talking points and controversies in there as well, so it wouldn't harm us to get through them on 01419511025. However, I suspect the biggest talking point will be Pittodrie tonight. Mm. This is the game in hand. It's always important that we know exactly where teams sit when they've played the same number of games. So for Celtic, a good comeback in the second half. Everyone left Ibrox feeling good about themselves. But surely they simply have to follow that up with a win this evening, particularly against a real out-of-form Aberdeen team who probably have the Scottish Cup and not much else to play for the rest of the campaign. So Celtic fans, all of your thoughts ahead of that one, please. Whether it's just general about the importance of the game, how confident or otherwise you are, what the team should look like. Martin O'Neill saying yesterday there's still an illness to Kasper Schmeichel, so presumably Sinisalo carries on in goals. Are you happy enough with that? Is 45 minutes enough to convince you that Reo Hatate is now all of a sudden the man to help you towards a title race where he was getting all sorts of criticism up until half time at the weekend? Does Dane Murray keep his place? Does Benjamin Arthur come in? Anything else? Whatever you want. Get all your speculation out the way in the lead up to that game on 01419511025. Whilst you get your calls in, let's set the scene. Let's go live to Pittodrie and check in with Gabriel.
Yeah, Gordon, good evening from the North East. As you said there, Celtic's league title defence looked all but over at halftime on Sunday. That Rio Hatate-inspired comeback at Ibrox has given this season a lifeline. They know with 10 games to go, they've got a lot of work to do, and it starts here at Pittodrie. A simple must-win for Martin O'Neill's men, who know 3 points would close the gap on leaders' hearts to just 5, but it would also propel them up to second place, which could have a big psychological boost as well. O'Neill claims he's never had an easy game at Pittodrie, even when he had the likes of Henrik Larsson in his team. He certainly won't have the Swede tonight. He won't have Kasper Schmeichel either. As you said, Gordon, he remains out with illness. If Ilyami Sinisalo earned praise from O'Neill, he'll be in goal. You'd expect Rio Hatate to start after his appearance at the weekend. It'll be interesting to see what is chosen up front. Will it be Thomas Chvanchara? Will it be Junior Adamu or someone else to lead the line? And Austin Trusty remains suspended. Aberdeen look like a team who've almost thrown in the towel for the season, though, Gordon. They're still managerless. They've lost 8 of their last 10 league matches. Genuinely relegation form. But they're 8th in the table. You'd still be surprised if they do get dragged into it. But they need to start picking up points somewhere. Chairman Dave Cormack released a video interview yesterday. He confirmed that Sandro Schwartz is in the city for talks about the vacant managerial position. But he's only one of several candidates. Eric Hornland looks less likely now. He's only interested in taking the role in the summer. It's now 2 months to the day since Cup hero Jimmy Tillien was sacked. Peter Leven remains in interim charge. Sporting director Lutz Pfannenstiel often supports him in the dugout, and assistants Tony Doherty and Ian Birchnell have been added to the coaching staff as well. So a bit all over the place for Aberdeen at the moment. The pitch will be a point, discussion point as well, Gordon. Of course, it's a rearranged fixture, cancelled this time last month. Aberdeen have played on it a few times since. There's some bare patches here, but it looks much better, and it is certainly playable. I'll bring you team news when it comes at 6:45.
How big is this tonight in the context of the title race?
Yeah, it's massive. I think the second half performance, you know, they were real buoyed. They managed to get the point, and they would have felt unlucky they never got the winner the way they were pressing it towards the end. And I think that just follows on to trying to get into second place. I think aesthetically it would look better for everyone. We were in here a couple of weeks ago, a couple of Sundays ago, and Celtic had lost to Hibs. And we had a first caller on and the night was right, that's it, the title's off and all that. And I just thought it was so premature. And they've worked their way back into this, Gordon. It gives them an opportunity to close that gap.
Agreed, aye. I think tonight's a must win. I think just to put pressure on Rangers and then obviously kind of keep in tow with Hearts. If they win tonight, they go, 5 points behind Hearts and a point above Rangers. Mentally, it'll be massive because if they didn't come back and draw that game at the weekend, for me, they were out it. And now, if you go and win tonight, that's, you're playing Hearts again in the split, plus all the big games that are coming. I still think there's a title race on if they win it tonight, but if they don't, then I think it's probably Hearts' league to lose.
It's tempting and it's easy to throw out these big statements, and we did it about the game at the weekend, but I think that is the case. Do you think drop points tonight leaves the gap to Hearts too much?
No,
for Celtic. No, you still think they can do that?
No, I still think they can get it back. I think they've still to play Hearts a couple of times. I still think there's twists and turns. I think there's
only one Celtic.
Once, they've got once. But I still feel as if they can drop back. I think I just think that obviously Hearts are in a terrific position because I think what did they need? Six to win. I would imagine 6 out of 9. So I think they're in a very good position. And it's interesting listening to the game as it was unfolding at the weekend, Gordon, because what you had is the Rangers fans were buoyed at half-time. This is the best we've ever seen. They're steamrolling Celtic. And then in the second half, you obviously seen Celtic kind of work their way back into the game and be dominant towards the end. And people were claiming the bragging rights, or we were outstanding in the first half, Celtic fans. All the while, Hearts are the big winners within all this. And I think Derek McInnes will be delighted the way things are going. The gap currently is very healthy for them. It gives them a good buffer, if you like, to have the odd bad result. I think, for me, Rangers have to turn the draws into wins. You have to be flawless going forward. I think Celtic are showing a level of consistency as well, where they you know, even regardless of people saying these late winners, I think Motherwell are coming with a double handful where, you know, you think to yourself, They've been so impressive. Hibs are starting to get a little bit of form as well. Falkirk pretty much cemented that top six. So I think there's a lot of football still to be played, even though a lot of people should probably write them off if they didn't get the 3 points tonight. I still think there's potential there for Celtic to go on and win it.
It'd be great fun being a Hearts fan at the moment, where on Sunday you're fully celebrating Rio Hatate scoring a penalty, but if he gets one tonight you're hoping he misses it.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if he'd still be on them after missing twice from that range before the tap in, but it'd be great for Hearts. Must be just be loving this, sitting back at the moment. And as Alex said about Rangers, kind of the expectation on the other two now is going to be nearly flawless.
I'd agree with that. I think Hearts just do their job so well in terms of they're winning 1-0s and they're just turning teams over. But when I look at the top six here, and I think we're almost guaranteed who's in it. What is it? One more win for Falkirk needed. I think it's the strongest in terms of competition for the top six that I've ever seen, in terms of the gap from sixth to first isn't as big. I think Falkirk at home can beat any of them. Hibs, obviously they've got a derby against Hearts, and then they've shown they can beat Celtic. Motherwell are the best team in the league, aesthetically on the eye at the moment. And then obviously Celtic and Rangers can win big games, and Hearts are turning everybody over. I think Al's right in terms of, I do think if Celtic lose tonight it's over, because I think 8 points, the way Hearts win games, is just too much. And I think you've also got Rangers to contend with. But win it tonight and they put the pressure back on, what does that go to? 5 points. If they win tonight, maybe that kick starts them. They win against Stuttgart, and then the second half at the weekend, maybe Martin Neal's found the players that he trusts.
Let's go to the phones. 0141 951 1025. Michael's a Celtic fan. How big is this, Michael? Tony thinks must win for the title. Michael, Alec Ray, not quite. What about you?
Thanks for taking my call. Hello, Alec. Tony, how you doing?
Evening. How you doing?
Tonight, I think Celtic will win 2-0.
Do you think they need to win to keep title hopes?
Every game's a cup final, let's be honest. I mean, every game for anyone is a cup final. You need to approach it like a cup final. It's a fantastic business. Some season, I mean, I've spoken to fans of other clubs as well, and everybody's saying that this is great, although they all like their team to win, you know what I mean? But I think Celtic 2-0, they've not been beat up there for 10 years, but I wouldn't take anything for granted. I mean, I've seen enough football in my life to know that take nothing for granted, you know?
Do you know what I love is the fact that, we'll get back to that, Michael, because I think you've said it perfectly there about, even though this season's like unprecedented, up there to be the best we've seen, what that does is it allows you to come back to all the old sayings that are the best. It was a game of two halves at the weekend, and it's however many cup finals to go. That kind of, it's got that feeling about it, doesn't it? Certainly for that chasing pack.
Yeah, we did say it weeks ago, and we said how exciting it's going to be. And the way the twists and turns have been already, I know Hearts have stayed at the top, but they get beat off Rangers and everybody thought they would go. They've came out and won their next two games. Rangers steamroll Celtic for the first 35, 40 minutes, and you think, get them back out here, maybe go and score a goal. The way Celtic came out the second half, you couldn't believe it. The twists and turns are unbelievable. I genuinely, at half-time, walking in there as a Celtic player, I'd have thought, oh my God, your biggest rival. How can we be so... we don't compete. How can we be so far off it? And then come out and put that performance in the second half. It was a brilliant performance. Rangers showed the first half how good they can be. It is anybody's title, and it's, what, 9 cup finals? 10 if you include Celtic's game tonight. Again, you're talking about the cliches we've said about flawless, but the words we're using are... it needs to be flawless for somebody to go and win this.
Michael mentioned the record there, Alex. It's 15 of the last 18 away games at Pittodrie Celtic have won. It does stretch back to the 15-16 season. Michael's done his research. And by the way, across that period, they'll have come across better Aberdeen teams than this. Football's not that simple, I accept. But is that, on paper?
On paper, yeah.
But then again, a lot of those Celtic teams have maybe been better than this one, to be fair.
Yeah, and I think that it's all valid points. I think Celtic getting up there on the back of Stuttgart, second half against Rangers, they've been up there with plenty of confidence. And also kind of bridging that gap from 8 points to 5, Gordon. I think that gives you, aesthetically, you think 5 points are no insurmountable with 9 games to play. And I agree. I look at the Aberdeen team and I just don't see... Was it 8 defeats out of 10 under Peters?
Think, yeah, 1 win since December, I think.
It's pitiful. And I know that the chairman up there is kind of coming out with statements and so forth. But if I was an Aberdeen fan, watching what's actually happened to the club currently, you know, the lack of urgency to get a permanent manager in, or even the lack of foresight, you know, because Jimmy Tilleen was kind of struggling to the tail end of last season before the cup final. And then obviously a poor start to this campaign. So you had plenty of time to try and get potential candidates.
The cup final.
But even the form leading into that, Tony, was poor the start of this season.
He should have gone. I'm agreeing with your point. The cup final, it covers the cracks.
Right, but see, the thing is, see, when you, as a club, you have to be scouring who's your next manager, who's doing really well, potential candidates that you can actually go and kind of suss out, get a word with their agent. See, for this team, what was it, the 3rd of January that Jimmy Tilleen, so you're pretty much 2 months and there's no sign of anybody coming into the building, and all they're doing is employing, you know, assistants to help Peter out, all the while they're not getting the results.
But you used to hear that about Celtic and Rangers. They used to say they've got their next manager ready lined 6 up. Months in advance. And how can Aberdeen not have that? You can't go 2 months without. I know, don't get me wrong, they brought a couple of coaches in to help Peter leaving, so for me, it says they've got something in the summer. But at least get it wrapped up and get it done and say, look, this is what we're doing. This is, I think Aberdeen need quite a lot of work done, because the money they spend, they're a big club, they've got a lot of money, and where they are, they shouldn't be limping towards 7th place at best. And that's what they're doing at the moment, and even at that, it might be out of reach.
Michael, what about the team tonight? Anything in particular you do or don't want to see?
Well, I'd like to see that big fella Benjamin Arthur getting a shot. He reminds me, I know this is a long shot, but he reminds me of somebody who could turn out with Virgil van Dijk. He's mature for his age, and apparently he's well thought in England. Well thought in there. And I watched him a wee bit in the Celtic game, he came on, and he seemed to have a nice easy stroll about him, which reminded me of van Dijk, because obviously van Dijk's a world-class player. But this player, I think, will go there. I think he's got a big future in front of him. And I'd give him a wee shot tonight, but Martin O'Neill knows what he's doing, so I'll leave it to him.
It'd be harsh on Dean Murray.
Well, that would be my point to Michael. They're working with these guys on a daily basis, and if they thought he was Virgil van Dijk-esque, I'm sure he would have been fitted in sooner than later. However, I thought Dean Murray done well at the weekend. Obviously, he had that fresh air shot that resulted in a goal, but I think in the main, over the piece, I thought he was quite assured, comfortable, and he didn't do himself any harm. And potentially I think he could stay in, because it gives you that, you know, right footed, left footed with Scales on the other side. It gives you more balance as opposed to Trusty and Scales to a lefty. So for me, I would expect him to be back in tonight.
Yeah, agreed. I think we said it weeks ago, and it goes back to Celtic's recruitment, and we don't want to keep speaking about it, but the Arthur signing to me just sounded like get another body in and just tick a box. He's not played at all. He's played once, is it, when Trusty gets sent off against
Hibs,
he came on. Dean Murray, they've sent Welsh back out to Motherwell, which I can't believe, looking at this signing. You've just got to give Murray a run. Again, at the weekend, he's went for a ball that is maybe out of his reach. It's not an easy one, and it looks like a mistake, but he done well. Second half, he done really well. He was physical. He won all his battles. I don't think you'll see many changes, but they do. They do obviously need to have one eye on the weekend as well, but it's a must win, so
you've got to go with your strongest team tonight, gone. You've got to take 3 points on the back of the second half performance, because to drop any points tonight, you know, with that caller earlier on saying that potentially that could be the end of the road for him.
Thank you, Michael. What are you thinking, Celtic fans? What would your team look like? What are the consequences of tonight? There's a bit of a split in the studio. Alex Ray thinks Celtic could recover from a failure to win tonight. Tony Watt does not. What do you think? Pick up the phone right now whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
In just 2 days, you could be getting life-changing cash into your bank. A phone call worth £550,000. Just picture that, into your bank account straight after the call. But you need to be in that draw, obviously. So to get involved and make me a winner, text YES to 61025. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at your standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5pm Friday. Somebody wins the lot straight away. It might as well be you. So text yes to 61025 and a good luck from us.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch and let us know what you are thinking tonight. It's obviously a big night at Pittodrie. Lots to look forward to there. It's all about the consequences. People are throwing out their statements. It's a must win. Celtic can't win the title if they drop points. Alex Ray still thinks there could be life left in it. There is a lot going on in the Scottish Premiership at the moment, particularly at the top, and again for the second time in a few days, Hearts just get to sit back and enjoy and see what's happening. Interesting one for the Rangers fans as well. I mean, it's not a difficult decision, but they'll not go and cheer on Aberdeen. Don't like them much either, do they? Having to drop your allegiances at the moment.
It's been incredible. A couple of weeks ago when Hearts were playing, I think both sets of the Old Firm were kind of going, go on to the opposite team. So listen, I think it's going to be like that from now to the end of the season, that you'll be supporting a particular team that you don't really have a lot of affection for.
Do you know, it's been great as well. It's been really tough on the refereeing conspiracies, because usually you just know you need to accuse the other one, but then you go, hold on, there's a third, maybe even a fourth party in this. So what does this all mean? They actually try to do Hearts a turn, and it's you can see people tying back themselves in knots.
It's a conspiracy.
Have they went back and checked the schools the referees went to? I seen that floating about for a while.
Tony. Nobody,
I know you weren't happy with that.
Nobody is questioning whether the referees are Hearts fans. It's funny that, isn't it? That even in the face of a title challenge, we can't get our old habits out of the way. Anyway, why did I even bring that up? That's
know it's going to be the phone lines have been going.
That was naive of me.
2 days.
You think this is my first time on this show, for goodness sake. Thomas is on the line. Thomas, throw me a big statement. Must win tonight or not?
Absolutely. First of all, evening, Tony, Alex, Gordon. Pleasure to be on the show.
Evening.
Hi, Thomas.
Yes, Gordon. Yes, absolutely must win for Celtic. If we drop any points, in my personal opinion, we can kiss goodbye to the title. And the reason I say that is due to the fact I've heard a lot of people after the comeback in the Glasgow Derby, I heard a lot of people talk about the possibility of building momentum and the psychological boost it can give Celtic and the psychological blow it can deal to Rangers. And whilst I would agree with that, I think momentum does exist, yes, but it's something that you can't just turn on and off. And so if we drop any points tonight, that momentum sort of goes out the window, and then we've only got 9 games to start a new run of momentum and new results. So I think any drop points tonight, I may say, Hearts, here's your title.
It's a good point, right? On a micro level, clearly you feel much better going to Pittodrie after that second half than you would have if the halves were the other way around.
Yeah.
Celtic had the good result at Stuttgart. They lost the previous league game against Hibs at home, having come off the back of some other, well, in fact that was Stuttgart the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then a couple of late winners before that. So you take, you know, Thomas's point, if there is momentum from the second half at Ibrox, that's a bit of micro momentum, surely. It needs to be more than that. When is it going to build itself into something sustainable? Because if it's not now, you're running out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most people have gone to the game tonight, but we've been saying that for weeks. When Rangers go to Livingston a couple of weeks ago, it's a must win, it's a given. And then across the road, Celtic lose as well. So
but since then, right, that's the point. So those 2 weekends, Hearts have taken 6 points.
That's right.
Rangers took 2 and Celtic took 1. So we must be at that. We must at least be close to that stage.
Yeah, we're getting to that stage, Gordon. I agree with that. I think the consistency out of the 3 teams, if you exclude Motherwell, I think Hearts are showing a level more than the others. I don't get the impression, and even when they have a setback, they tend to go on a little run. And I think that's credit to Derek McInnes. And I just think it's great, the toing and froing that's going on a weekly basis, and points are going to be dropped. And that's the reason why I'm saying people won't be out of it, because I still feel as if Hearts still have a realistic chance of dropping points along the way as well. It's not as if they're winning really consistently, you know, in terms of 3s and 4s. They're winning consistently in terms of getting the job done. But I mean, you know, the 1-0s and things. It's not as if they've blown teams out
of
the
water. I find myself being really greedy. I just want one more game. Just one more to keep my... So I thought, well, let me see what Celtic do tonight. Yeah. And then Motherwell play their game in hand on Saturday. While all the cup games are on, you lot will be distracted at some point, but...
We'll be training.
Motherwell play Dundee. That's their game in hand, Saturday.
Away.
So... I feel like greedy again. Well, ask me what I think after that, and then is it the first league game back? Hartsnick league games, Kilmarnock away.
But even that, I just, while you said that, I never even clicked. If Motherwell beat Dundee, they're a point behind Rangers with 29 games played, right? And I spoke about it weeks ago. Motherwell's goal difference is plus 29. See, for me, that's unheard of. Outside Celtic Rangers.
It's a bit of an outlier, right? This is how sad I am. Because I noticed that the other day, right? And I started on the old app and just flicked through every league table I could find. You won't find a league where the team in fourth has got the best goal difference. It just doesn't happen. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it points to anything. But it's a total outlier.
If you flick through the Scottish Premiership and you look at teams previous years, I can't remember the exact number, but I looked at Dundee United last year, for instance, and I'm sure they were on net minus 3 or 4 for the full season.
And finish fourth.
Yeah, that's right. So what we speak about Celtic and whatever, going back, we'll go back to Celtic, their form. Motherwell's form has been so convincing. They've got 13 out of 15 points. I know it stretches back longer than that. I think it's a lot more, but on the face it here. But every week you go into a game as them favourites. If they were playing Celtic, Rangers or Hearts at home this weekend, you would have to make them favourites, and that's uncharted territory. We've never seen that before.
I think Motherwell's got a really tough run in before the split, haven't they?
Yeah, got Tynecastle in the last game before.
Yes, and then they've obviously got Celtic at Parkhead as well. So there's a couple of tricky ones in there.
Thomas, is there a debate about the team tonight? The goalkeeping debate has apparently been taken away because there is still an illness to Kasper Schmeichel. Anything else that tickles you for tonight?
For me, the debate... I would say is quite limited in terms of, you know, positions up for discussion. The one thing you would say is who's gonna lead the line, because Adamu obviously started at the weekend and got hooked at half time, and then you moved Aizen Maeda through the middle, who I think most people would suggest isn't the... You know, if we're in a situation where we've signed so many strikers and we've still got Dyson Maeda in the way he's been playing, being the best option, it says a lot about the recruitment. And I think it'll be interesting. And this isn't a selection dilemma, because I think it's quite obvious that he has to play. But Rayo Hatate, I'm particularly interested to see if he can. Speaking of momentum. We were mentioning about the team, but I'm interested to see if Rayo Hatate can continue his performance from the second half, because he was absolutely brilliant, changed the game. But obviously, up until that point, he'd received a lot of criticism. So I'm really hoping that Rayo Hatate can kick on. And if he can find his top level, as much as I was saying that if we drop points tonight, we kiss goodbye to the title. If Rayo Hatate can find his top level for 10 games, we win the title. In my mind.
Does he have to start tonight? Again, if you're trying to, whatever momentum looks like, and if it's out there, do you need to try and harness it in the case of Rio Hatate tonight?
Yeah, get as many people on the park that have won the league, been there and done it. And for me, you can tell the last couple of weeks, maybe months, haven't been easy on him mentally, because he wasn't a starter. I think he maybe played a couple of games for Martin and he would start, but he went more with Engels and Nygren, or Engels and another. But I think the weekend will maybe have sparked him. I hope it has, because the last 3 or 4 weeks he hasn't been up to speed. He hasn't been at his best. And you remember Hatate for years gone by, how good he was at times. He was Celtic's best player at
times.
Double
figures as well, 20 for goals.
With people at Jota and that in the team, he was still probably their best player. Carter Vickers, you could have an argument. But he needs to get back to that. Martin O'Neill needs him as much as Hatate needs Martin O'Neill now. I think Martin O'Neill probably needs to get the arm around him and say, we need you, like Thomas said, to get us over the line, because if not, I don't see as much quality in that midfield. I've said it time and time again, I'll say it. Nygren, for me, is not a number 8. He's not a midfielder. He's too slow on the ball. He's more of a striker. slash number 10, and I don't think Celtic control games when he's in there, so I would move him further forward. However they do it, I don't know whether it's on the wing or through the middle or behind the striker, but I would get Hatate next to McGregor plus another.
Did you, Alex, it was only 45 minutes, so I don't know if it can totally dispel the argument, but did it at least push back on this notion that he's chucked it, he's gone, he's not interested, whatever those phrases you usually hear? Can you put in a performance like that on Sunday in a difficult environment if you've done all those things?
No, listen, I think he was excellent the weekend, and I actually thought there was more factors. I thought Hatate was very good. Sure. I thought Tonecki coming on and driving in the middle and inwardly as well. I thought the fact that Maeda was actually stretching the two centre-halves as opposed to coming towards the ball. And I just thought that the way that they passed it didn't allow Rangers to get the press that they got in the first half. So I think there was a lot of factors. I thought Hatate was pivotal within that. And he had a great opportunity at the edge of the box as well when it got cut back and he ballooned it over the bar. So I firmly expect him to start tonight, Gordon. And it's interesting because I'm listening to Tony there talking about Negrin and where you play him. You can't really play him off the side because he doesn't have the pace to go anywhere. So the only place you can play him under the current shape that Celtic play is that number 8. And when you look at his numbers, are incredible. Yep. I'm trying to be as honest as I can here. See if he'd have scored anywhere near the amount of opportunities he got. He gets into great positions. He sniffs out goals. And he, as I said, I think he's won about 18 or 19 goals already. For a number 8, is just an incredible return. And
how does a midfielder become a poacher? That's what I can't. I'm not sure I've seen. Remember, like your old teammate David Turnbull, the great goal return. Usually
25 yards every one.
Yeah, strikes from outside. How's this guy like a goal poacher from midfield?
He looks very single minded. I went to a couple of games at the start of the season. I think we might have been playing Fridays. It was in the cup or whatever.
Sorry, don't he justify it to him?
Just
in case you think I've got a season ticket, I had a couple of free tickets.
Who drink he goes in his time off?
Agreed. And I just felt like
Tannadice.
He takes a lot of touches. He's slow to release the ball. He's got a single mind in this, that he wants the opportunity for him, and then he'll turn back and maybe give a teammate not in the best of position. So I think when he's in the midfield, he thinks more about getting into positions of scoring goals rather than how do I keep the ball ticking and getting the team playing well, which isn't his job. That's not a slight on him. I think Hatate at his best, McGregor at his best, Engels at his best, and even like your McCowns, they do a role for the team which helps control the game. And I think Negrin, as much as an amazing goal scorer, I would just like to see him a bit further up and not in the middle of the park.
Thank you, Thomas. What about Stephen on the other line in Bells Hill? What's your point tonight, Stephen?
Hi, Gordon, Alex.
Hi, Stephen.
How you doing?
Good, mate.
What's your point tonight, Stephen?
I want to touch on Martin O'Neill's comments on Mbuka. Mm-hmm. And how, again, I feel like this is the same phone call that I've had on here before about recruitment and how the recruitment has failed yet again in another window. From what Martin said, is basically he's played 45 minutes and we'll not see him again. So, and that was the only player in the January window that the club were physically going to pay money for him. So that's another kind of Balogwisha type signing. 3 million, I think, from memory. I think it was 3 million. Balogwisha was obviously 5 million. So, where are we getting these guys that are absolutely rotten from? And they're paying millions of pounds for them, for the privilege. And then they play 45 minutes and then it's like, nah, no chance. Like, can nobody see that from, like, a video, a YouTube link? Or is it just panic buying? Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Stephen's right. It was Alec. Martin Neal basically said that. He didn't even see him again, but that's what a lot of Celtic fans have taken from it. Said that the first half against Dundee, he found it tough. He's not been involved. Mm-hmm. But he's trained really well recently. You know, the sort of thing that you would generally hear in those circumstances. Clearly the problem for fans like Stephen is, yeah, you've got him in isolation, but added to a scenario where no harm to Dane Murray, but you've signed Benjamin Arthur and you still play Dane Murray in arguably your biggest league game of the season. You've gone after the window in the free agent market and brought in Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who you have to take off at halftime and replace with Reo Hatate. The previous caller then mentioned that you've signed Adamu, who you have to take off at halftime, and Chavanchara, who doesn't come on at all, and you end up back with Aizen Maeda leading the line, who everybody said that needs fixed in the January window. That's a lot, Tony. That is a lot mounting up. Hugh Keevans, he'll have his day if it keeps panning out this way, because we get a lot of calls just after the window from Celtic fans saying, no, this has been a good window. This has been good. And Hugh's very sceptical. It's let's say it's in the balance at best.
Well, I'm looking at the signings, and if I'm right, it's 6 signings Celtic made in the window. And a thing that at least 4, potentially 5 and potentially 6 have got in common is none of them had regular game time before. Coming into a title race in a country where it takes time to adapt, we always go back to it. Look at Kuhn. Kuhn's best time for Celtic was after he had 6 months to settle in and adapt. Celtic needed ready-made signings that can get into the team now. Chvanchara has done okay. Scored or assisted decent goals.
Nah, not bad.
Araujo's looked decent. He's fiery.
I think he's been a good addition for me.
He's fiery. He looks like he gets about. Then you go into Arthur, who it looked exactly what it's shown to be. A signing to appease people. A loan with no option to buy. Mvuka, okay. If Martin O'Neill's saying that, and they've got an option to buy him, they see something and they go, right, we can develop him, okay. But Celtic fans don't care about that now. They want...
Because remember, he was the one that was meant to be the permanent signing, but then the medical... But
see that, and again, it goes back to, we've got a snobbery in this country. Remember Calvin Miller was linked? Why not go and pay £300,000 in... a third day what they'll be paying these guys.
Falkirk chairman's just phoned there to say it's going to take more than that. You daft.
Whatever it was, right? I think is he out of contract in the summer?
He is out of contract. Oh, right. So,
maybe right, negotiation. So,
steady, Gordon. You've just murdered him.
No. He's got a point. People always want the top dog, but why not go and Derek McInnes, when he first came into Hearts, he made sure he re-signed Shankland. He got Finlay in from Kilmarnock, who by all means weren't on the analytics. Because he knows what they can do.
At the level.
Like, Calvin Miller has played this season, and I don't know his numbers off by heart, because I'm known his fan club, right? But what I do know is, he's got a load of assists, he's got a load of goals, and he's a decent player. He knows the club, he'll be good for homegrown, whatever, next year, but Oxlade-Chamberlain couldn't get a game at Besiktas. And by the way, good player, and he'll do fine for Celtic. He's on a 6-month deal. Arthur, loan with no option. Araujo, loan to the end of the season. Mvuka, okay, loan with an option. Adamu, not sure. And Chvanchara's meant to be on, what, 50 grand a week, which, based on the current Celtic board, they're not giving him it. There's no way he signs, he goes, scores 20 goals to the end of the season. He's not getting that money. So, yes, you can be annoyed at the recruitment, because they're all stopgaps. There's no system in place here. None of them have played games.
But see on that, though, that profile, see if they come in and they're outstanding, you take it.
Of course.
Don't you? You just go, right, whatever. They're loan signing. It is a stopgap, but it's a very good stopgap.
But
the question would be, are they?
But the thing is, Aruko? They've not had game time, so they're going to take. So see if you actually, if you go a bit deeper, it's going to take every one of them a bit of time
to get
matched.
It doesn't always, though, because Araujo hadn't played, really.
I know, but Araujo's 1 out of 6.
So that's what I'm saying, but it's not always about the lack of game time, but the output from the rest just isn't there yet.
But that's the thing, see, if you sign six, there's a good chance one will be all right. Mm-hmm. That's the problem for me. They should be going and getting people who are ready to get in and write in about it now.
So, Stephen, that's kind of bugging you a bit. Sorry, I think we ended up getting a bit distracted there. That, you know, despite all the kind of feel-good factor that comes after a second 45, you're still looking at some of the underlying bits.
There's huge issues at Celtic still. Whether we win the league, we don't win the league, this summer there needs to be massive change. Not just in the team, not just in the management. There needs to be change from the top.
There's no structure.
Mm-hmm. There's no director of football in. It's almost like we're relying on, any time there's a window coming round, agents to just phone and be like, oh, I've got this guy, he's really good. Ah, what's he look like? Aye, he's really good, aye, we promise he's good. And then we sign him, he's rotten, and he never kicks a ball again for us, and we've wasted £5 million. Ballot, we sure. But, like, it just seems like every season they say they've come out, and also at the same time, I think the board, to a certain degree, have kind of backed themselves into a corner. Because they've come out and they've said, yep, the recruitment was really bad in the summer, we're going to do better. Then the January comes around, it's all last minute again, getting guys in the door. And I would say that I think out of the 6 that was kind of talked about there, I think Araujo is the one that we probably should be trying to sign in the summer. I know he had a rotten first half on Saturday or Sunday, but overall, I think he's been a positive player. He plays forward, he's got some good movement. Whether we'll get him or it might be too much money, that's a different story.
Stephen, I think you're making some great points, and I don't want to stop you in full flow, but I'm in trouble here. I'm very late for this break.
Minutes.
That clock is screaming at me. I'm sorry, Stephen, but you were making such good points. We had to keep it going. Just a quick one. Maybe your team's not in action this Saturday. I don't know if you've noticed. Gordon DL is right up his street. Scottish Gas Murrayfield will be the home of Scotland, France and the Guinness Men's Six Nations. Why not treat yourself? The turnstiles open 3 hours before the game. You can get yourself in, soak up the buzz. Plenty happening around the stadium. Live music, big screen action, player Q&As, fan stalls, the lot. And of course, a wide range of local eating and drinking establishments as well. So you can make a brilliant day even better by upgrading your tickets to book now, murrayfieldexperience.com. And if you tune in to Grant Thompson this Friday between 10 and 2, he's giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's match, plus hospitality in Terrace 22, a champagne and seafood bar. Oh. The type of place you would not find Tony Watt or Alex Ray. But there'll be loads of other good people there, so get involved in that, and we'll get the Celtic and Aberdeen teams next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watts are here on 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Pittodrie and get the team news ahead of Aberdeen against Celtic with Gabriel.
Yeah, Gordon, let's start with Celtic then. Four changes to the team that drew at Ibrox. Reo Hatate unsurprisingly comes in after his game-changing second-half appearance. And McCowan, Chinecki and Chvanchara all into the lineup as well. Negrin and Maeda both perhaps surprisingly dropped to the bench, as do Adamu and Oxlade-Chamberlain. So the team is as follows: Villami, Sinisalo in goal, Julian Araujo, Dane Murray, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney stay as the back four. Captain Callum McGregor is at the base of midfield with Reo Hatate and Luke McCowan in front of him. Yang starts for his 100th Celtic appearance. Don't tell Hugh Keevans. Thomas Chvanchara and Sebastian Tunecti complete the front three. Substitutes: Duhan, Negrin, Adamu, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sirachi, Maeda, Arthur, Forrest and Donovan. The hosts, Aberdeen, make three changes to the side that lost at Tynecastle the weekend. Morrison, Shinny and Keskinen out, Frame, Nilsson and Armstrong in. So it'll be Dimitar Mitov in goal, a back four of Nicky Devlin on the right, Gavin Malloy moves into centre-half with Jack Milne, so Mitchell Frame comes in on the left-hand side of defence, Dennis Geiger and Helton Nilsson sitting in front of the back line with Lyle Cameron, Stuart Armstrong and Tuyosi Olasanya in front of them. Kevin Nisbet leads the line. Substitutes: Vitals, Shinny, Bilalovic, Morrison, Lazetic, Kjartansson, Loban, Gyamfi and Keskinen.
What do you make of that? Probably get your calls lined up just now. We can speak to you just after the news, but is that the team you would have picked? Are you happy with it? All the usual reactions, please, on 01419511025. What's the headline for you? Hatate starts, or is that obvious?
Chvanchara up front, possibly. Yep. Dane Murray retains his place. I think McCown's a bit of a surprise, because we were obviously talking about Negrin earlier on. So, a couple of players to freshen things up, Gordon.
Yeah, Tony, I suppose if we were talking about there being a potential swap there, it is Dane Murray gets to keep his place. You think that's right? That's fair?
Yeah, fair. Absolutely fair. I think the surprising one is McCown, but he done well against Stuttgart, scored the goal, came on second half, had a decent chance to put Celtic to equalise, I think it was, and he showed up decent enough. Yang, again, Martin O'Neill seems to like him, and then, as Alex says, Chvanchara, he never got on at the weekend, maybe how the game was going, but he obviously rates him.
You surprised at Negrin, because I think I sold you false information during the break. I thought he was one of the ones that started in Stuttgart, so I'm thinking, if he started Hibs, started Stuttgart, started Rangers, maybe it's just a... But he didn't start the away game in Stuttgart, and those numbers that you mentioned, even the weekend he assisted Kieran Tierney's goal. You surprised that he's the one that drops out?
Like we said before, though, it depends how you want to control the game. I think he could have played a bit further forward, but I don't mind that midfield three at all. It's three kind of robust, industrial,
energetic
midfielders that can get about. They can also play, they can get their foot in the ball. I don't know, maybe it's Negrin on for the last 30 minutes and he'll probably pop up with four goals.
What else? Yeah, as you said, though, Alex alluded to it. Chvanchara, he goes from no game time at all at the weekend to leading the line. But is he hard done by not to play at the weekend, or the game not suit him? What do you think the reason for that was?
I think Adamu's performance in the first half was that quiet, that he needed to make a change without doing too much, and putting Maeda through the middle and bringing on Tonetke does that. And I think it probably just, Maeda's energy probably stops him from coming on. And again, Maeda wins the penalty, basically hits the the hand of Sterling for the header. I think at Celtic you can accept not playing a game because there's so many in quick succession, and I think the fact that he's been played tonight shows that Martin O'Neill probably thinks he's our best striker to go and win the game.
Do you know an interesting thing about it, Gordon? I see when you're looking at these players, it doesn't seem to me to be a drop-off in any way. You know, they're guys that are kind of like-for-like, and not necessarily in size and so forth, but they bring something to the team.
Because usually that's seen as a really good sign.
Absolutely.
But without being too critical, is this because Celtic, they don't have a you know, kind of nailed-on, brilliant starters at the moment?
Yeah, well, listen, if you go back a year and a half ago, I think it was... Kyogo was more or less a guaranteed every week in that certain position, and he dominated that. I think the fact that they're chopping and changing suggests that they're not quite clear on the guaranteed number nine at Celtic at the moment. And as we said at the weekend, you've obviously got Maeda, you've got Juan Chara now, Adamu, and so you've got a variation of guys there, really. But I think it's the right idea because he'll be as fresh as a daisy as well. You know, he's coming into this game. He's got supply for the wing, Yang down the right, Tanecki coming in and delivering, and then you've also got guys who you can link as well in the middle of the park, two clever players, and then McGregor will pull the strings.
Okay, before we go any further with your calls on tonight's action, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big night on Beat the Pundit. Brian Graham got his first victory of the season last night. There's a bit of infighting going on amongst the pundits as well, let me tell you.
Took a
phone call from Scott Allen today.
Ooh.
He's not happy with you.
How me?
Not you directly. It just feels like you've only played a couple of times and you're getting all this credit for being above him in the table.
I seen the tweet and he wasn't happy
with whoever wrote that tweet.
Was he not?
Nah.
Oh, me and Scotty go way back.
No, he told me that as well, yeah.
Going well with Scotty.
Mm-hmm. Why did I phone you, Tony?
I'm glad to see it because we've not got beef over that. I think the producers probably let him down there, however.
You will once I'm finished with you.
It was great to see that I was above him. I would have loved to see the table.
Don't
I asked
worry.
For it and I got
all,
ghosted.
All will be revealed. Let's play the 01419511025. Beat the Pundit tonight. The lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. Keep the calls coming. We are just under an hour away from kickoff at Pittodrie. Aberdeen against Celtic. Celtic's game in hand, if you're looking at the context of the title race. Maybe not a lot really to play for in the league table for Aberdeen. Folk pretty much got that position sewn up, not quite yet. Speaking of which, it shows you everybody, somebody's always listening. You're getting pulled up for spreading fake news.
Oh no.
Calvin Miller's contract is 2027.
No, I asked that and Al confirmed, so it's actually Al.
How would he know? I said
he's out of contract this summer, or has he got another year?
Okay.
Maybe I didn't.
Anyway, let's hope both of you are more accurate on this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Tell me, on the subject of quizzing, how big-headed has he been acting around the training ground? Because we put out if you've not seen it, to build up to the big game on Sunday, we put out a quiz on social media. It was Tony representing Celtic, Alex representing Rangers, but they had to answer questions on the opposite team.
I'm not sure that's a flex, and you know what? I think I've let Celtic fans around the world down.
Because you know a lot about Rangers.
I knew far too much about Rangers.
That's not something I paid a great deal of attention on, Celtic.
Was he lording it up, though?
Oh, did I tell
He's
a few
walking
people?
About like a peacock.
The Conor McGregor sort of swaggering around.
Desperate, man. It's actually embarrassing.
Oh, every morning at the sun.
Yeah, it's lively. I'll give him up.
Well, funnily enough, this guy's not too far from where you two work these days. Brian's in Maryhill. How's it going, Brian?
Hi, all good.
Good man, Brian.
You ever played this before?
I have not, no.
Well, the good thing is, Brian, see if you win, both these guys can be spotted in the Maryhill area regularly, so you can get your bragging rights over to them in person. How does that sound?
That sounds brilliant. Good. I could even drop a coin after
exactly.
me.
Pick it up at... could pick up at the stadium, no bother.
Aye, no bother. Yep. We'll leave him the code to the front door.
Give him a foot massage when he's at it.
Let's toss the coin and see how it ends up. If it's the blue side, it will be Tony Watt. If it's the red side, it will be Alex Ray. And it is. Oh, broke the computer screen.
Red.
Into that again. It's red.
Oh no!
For Alex Ray. So let's give Alex something else to listen to. Brian, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. In what year did Aberdeen last beat Celtic at Pittodrie?
2012.
Who left Rangers for Sheffield United in February this year?
Pass.
Name any side Alex Gogic played with before St Mirren.
Gogic. Dundee United.
Which Scottish festival has announced they'll show Scotland's World Cup game against Morocco?
Pass.
Who's the only Scottish Premiership team to have won their last three league games?
Motherwell.
Okay, let's bring back Alex Ray. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Same set of questions, and your time, Alex Ray, starts now. In what year did Aberdeen last beat Celtic at Pittodrie?
2016.
Who left Rangers for Sheffield United in February this year?
Midfielder Joe Rothwell.
Name any team Alex Gogic played with before St Mirren.
Hamilton.
Which Scottish festival's announced it will show Scotland's World Cup game against Morocco?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish Premiership side who's won their last three league games.
Last three league games would be...
Quick, guess it.
Just
in time, I would say. Brian, what's the verdict?
I think it was time up on that last question.
I had already asked it. That's the rules. That is the rules. Anyway, let's go through them.
No.
In what year did Aberdeen last beat Celtic at Pittodrie? It was the 3rd of February 2016, 1-0 to Alex Ray. There have been 5 draws and 16 Celtic wins since then. Who left Rangers for Sheffield United in February this year? It threw me a little bit because it was February, because the January window closed in February, just to really muddy the waters. But anyway, Joe Rothwell, it is 2-0 to Alex Ray. Alex Gogic played for the likes of Hamilton and Hibs. He had the choice of them for Scottish teams before St Mirren. 3-0, Alex. Bit of a strange penalty he gave away last night, wasn't it? If you've not seen it, he's got his hand right up in the air because he's claiming for offside, and then the ball hits his hand whilst it's like right, like, you know that way. Like, he's got his hand up like he's in class. His hand could not be higher.
Yeah.
That just summed up a really bad night for St Mirren, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think Stephen Robinson was clear on that afterwards. I think he felt as if it took a touch on the way through to his hand. But, you know, it was just the way the game had gone after the Fraser own goal.
But listen, with some of the gymnastics we do with refereeing decisions here, Tony, I'm surprised we're not getting people saying, well, if you're claiming for offside, that is a natural position. But I don't
I didn't know where you were going there.
But I don't think that's quite the way the rule book works, unfortunately.
I think all guys will know that it's a penalty. I think Stephen Robinson will be pulling his hair out. I wouldn't be surprised if he's bald next year with the own goal and then that penalty. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can write luck as bad as that.
On that, St Mirren fans, I still want to hear from you how you're feeling after last night. I'm surprised that you're here, because of all the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits, you're the number one festival goer.
It's not the
Transmit
one. Yeah. But see, I have to be honest with you, I've not attended Transmit. I'm a in the park, man.
Back in the day.
Is there any chance that I'm just opening up?
But anyway, so they have announced that at Transmit you'll be able to watch Scotland against Morocco,
right, okay,
at the World Cup. So none of you got that one. 3-0 still to Alex Ray, the only Premiership team who's won their last three league games. Bit offended how long it took Alex Ray on this. You got it a lot quicker, Brian. It was Motherwell, but that was as good as it got for you.
Well,
we'll put that question
maybe next time.
Brian, who's your team?
Rangers.
How are you feeling after the weekend? Died down yet? Disappointment?
Disappointed, because we were the first half, second half, just die. They dominated, but hopefully they drop points tonight. That'd be ideal.
What about the
Aberdeen?
I was going to say, you're supporting Aberdeen all of a sudden. How do you rate Rangers' chances of winning the league from here?
I don't know. It's between the four now, I would say.
What, yeah? Well,
I'm just hoping we do it, but I don't know.
Alex, what do you think? The dust has settled a bit. The kind of feeling for Rangers, they almost have to stew on this a bit.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in one sense, you'd rather the rest. You wouldn't want to go to Pittodrie, but Rangers now kind of stew on it for a bit. And I'm fascinated by this cup, because look, it's still going to be, when it comes round, it'll be mega, and it's the cup,
course,
and
yeah,
it's knockout, and one of them goes out, and it's at Ibrox, and there's the big travelling Celtic support. But it is weird that we have one of these where, is it about as close to a scenario where people would say, oh, I'd much rather focus on the league? It will not feel like that for either team on Sunday. It won't. But if there was ever going to be a year where you're kind of edging towards that, we need to wait ages now to see what Rangers' next move in the league is.
Yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks, Gordon. And but I think we'd wanted to call us earlier on talking about momentum. And if you can win that, it clearly dents whoever is a victor. So I think it's brilliant that the fact that Celtic have the Broomlyn Road party as well, the atmosphere will be mental. And I think on the back of the performances, whatever way you look at it in the game at the weekend, I think you will look at that and go, we're going to win this. So I think both sets of fans will go in and thinking they can egg it through to the semi-final. So I think it's all geared up brilliantly, Gordon, and it also gives Motherwell a chance to claw back some points at the weekend as well. So I think it's all brilliantly poised.
How deep will that frustration run? Because we mentioned the order of the halves earlier.
Yes, I still think there's a hangover. I dropped a fella a text on earlier on, and it's based abroad, and he's still kind of stewing on the back of having such a dominant 45. He felt as if it could, and then obviously the regression in the second half. So I think it's kind of thrown a few Rangers fans on the back of the way it panned out. Celtic fans clearly think as if, all right, okay, we got away with, and the way they went on in the second half. So I think the Rangers fans will still feel a wee bit more miffed on the strong performance as is Celtic's strong performance in the second half.
Do you think is it unavoidable that a lot of the conversation is shaped by what's happened previously, and I mean over previous seasons? Because what I've noticed is, so if Celtic are bad, as they have been this season, the focus is sort of on the level coming down, or bad recruitment or managerial situation or whatever. Whereas if Rangers do something like they did at the weekend, the kind of number one thing that comes up is like mentality and bottle. Whereas Celtic can't have that levelled at them really, because they've won previous titles. Now, I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I don't think they're right and wrong, but do you see what I mean? If Celtic lose a game, it'll never be perceived as a bottle issue. But if Rangers do that, because you can tell Danny Rule didn't really like that question, did he, the other day?
It didn't look like mentality for me at the weekend. It looked like sloppiness. It looked as if at half time they felt the game was won.
That's a mentality thing.
No, but I felt like it was like, oh, I don't need to make this pass, or I don't need to control the game. I don't need to. Yeah,
you're describing mentality.
No,
here.
I mean mentality in the other way, where, oh no, it's Celtic, we need to win this. Oh no, we've been beat off them all the time, or they've beat us to the league, whatever. I think the Rangers players look like they've got fight in them. I think they look stronger than they've looked in years, but I think it's more they never get their foot in the ball in the second half. Rangers could have really killed Celtic's season at the weekend, going out of Europe on Thursday, and they could have really, if they went out in the second half and done what they'd done in the first half and it finished 3 or 4 nil, I think they would have really put a big dent in Celtic's season. Now, if Celtic go and win on Sunday, Celtic then go into the split thinking, Rangers are beatable, we can go and beat them here, no problem at all, and it gives them momentum. But like the caller said, momentum's key here. This game at the weekend isn't just about the Scottish Cup, because
The bigger picture,
whoever wins this, and it is a flip of a coin, whoever wins this probably has the most, and we'll go back to momentum, to go on and kick on and win the league. Because even though it's a cup, it will put down a marker saying, we are better than you at the now. We are better than you, and this is the running, and it's the here and now.
Do you see what I mean by that? The kind of fallout's just always different from the two. Because right now, they're right next to each other in the league.
Yeah, but see,
it's kind of where they've been.
What you have is, you have a body of work with Celtic, so you can't label at it. This is a new group of players, Gordon. Even if you go back to January, there was four or five players come in at Rangers, so it's all new. So then people automatically question, because you don't have longevity, and then the manager gets questioned as well, because he's just in the door. Whereas, again, Martin O'Neill has what he did in his first term, what he did with the interim, and then obviously the second part. So the whole situation is different. I'll be more fascinated to see how they approach the game at the weekend. Will Rangers approach the similar to the first half? Because I didn't think Rangers got the press right in the second half, and they were literally getting picked off at will through the lines. And whether they drop more into a mid-block, and then it allows the Gassamas to then go into transition, but they're more compact, Gordon, because I felt in the second half they were wide open and they were getting stretched all over the place.
Imagine Rangers come out in a defensive kind of mid-block first 10-15 minutes. I think they'll get booed off the park.
No, no, but I don't think they will necessarily. I think they'll have the legs initially in the game, Tony. Like they had to just go right after them and say we're just going to replicate what we did.
Or you
to
think
you last
the
week.
Second half they should have just went right, shows what you've got, took a
off,
step back,
and then obviously, and then you're bringing Gassama on, but they didn't get the press right at all, and they just were playing through them. They were going from one side through the middle to the opposite side, and I thought Rangers were getting carved over that well.
Let's thank Brian, bring in Scott and get his thoughts as a Rangers fan. Hi, Scott.
How are you doing?
Not bad, you?
Aye, not bad.
Good. What are you thinking?
Wee bit let down after the Old Firm, obviously. Let the dust settle a wee bit. But I think for the Rangers fans' point of view tonight, a draw is what we need. A draw keeps everything, keeps it balanced, keeps it where it is, where it was before the Celtic game.
Why not a Celtic defeat?
I would if there's a poll going out there, Scott, I think Rangers fans would be looking for an Aberdeen win.
Why do you want you Celtic know? To pick
a
up
draw a draw to help them
to pick up a point when they could pick up none?
No, I'd rather. I don't like Aberdeen and I don't like.
I got the true colours going through.
I mean, I get that, sort of, but at the same time.
You've got to see the bigger picture.
Oh, it's got to be.
No, listen.
A draw keeps Celtic a point behind Rangers, to be fair. It's still.
And have defeat 2 points
see,
behind.
See, to be honest, Celtic fans and a lot of my mates are Celtic fans and they're since this game has been game in hand, obviously. They're counting it as a guaranteed 3 points, like my pal said. Oh, we're technically two in front of you, we're two in front of you. And I'm like, no, you're not. Because this season especially, no game is a given.
Yeah, it's a good point. But I don't think that's I don't think that's exclusive to Celtic. I've noticed this about Motherwell as well. See, because what you do is you try and build the most dramatic picture. So I've seen it as well. If Motherwell win their game in hand, blah. We don't really talk about if Motherwell don't win their game in hand. And it's kind of similar with Celtic. You can see why. And if we're being fair, there is no gimme. But maybe since we started the show with cliches, if Celtic can't go and beat an Aberdeen team that have got one win since December, maybe that, you know, maybe that is the kind of
absolutely
says a lot.
Absolutely spot on. If Celtic can't go and beat this Aberdeen team who are struggling at the moment, no slight to them, they don't deserve to go and win the league. That, and if they win it tonight, it'll show good character because they came back at the weekend. I know we've said it. They beat Stuttgart, but then if they don't win it, people go further back and they go, oh, they get beat off Hibs, or Rangers battered them first half, or they scored a last minute goal against Dundee in the cup to scrape any extra time. They scored a last minute goal against Livingston, and then there was one more, Kilmarnock. I think tonight can really, if Celtic go and win 2-0, 3-0, by a couple of goals, I think it gives Celtic fans a little bit of time just to breathe and say, right, we're back in it here. The last thing they need is negativity towards the team, and I think that if they go and win tonight with a reasonably good performance by one or two, not a last minute, I know they'll do anything to win, but I think they just need to put down a marker tonight going into Sunday, and then if you can go and win Sunday, they're in a good position to go and kick on and try and win the league.
How do you rate Rangers' title chances before the game kicks off tonight, Scott?
I think it's still within a shout, but I said this to Hugh Keevans a couple of weeks ago, and I'd still to see it come to fruition that Motherwell would win the league.
Wow, hope you're right. Anyway, thanks to Scott and Air on 01419511025. That is the number that you need, so why not get in touch till 40 minutes? There's something. See that extra 15 minutes. See 8 o'clock kickoffs.
They're
not for
me.
Yeah,
it annoys me as well.
I was wondering why the team news was taking so long earlier, and then I remembered that it's that extra 15 minutes. Right. Get the calls in just now. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. Just a quick word, by the way. A big welcome to our new podcast sponsor, White Mackay, as well.
Oh,
triple matured
yes.
Whiskey. No comments you'll regret. Please drink responsibly. like Super Scoreboard, proudly from Glasgow, but celebrated globally. That's why it's a good partnership. If you ever miss the show, you can always catch up on Rayo or wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White Mackay Triple Matured Whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for proper football chats. There we go. So whitemackay.com if you want to find out more. And as the message goes, drink responsibly. Our new podcast sponsor there. Let's check it on. In fact, you've got a teaser as well. I'm all over the
place.
So many things to get through. So much admin to work out. Let's do this question for you.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh, it's good. It's good tonight. Owen in Springburn has sent it in since 98-99. six Scottish players with more than 350 top flight appearances who have never had an international cap. So since 98-99, six Scottish players with over 350 top flight appearances. You don't need me to tell you, that's a lot.
Yep.
And they've never been capped at international level. Any that spring to mind?
Lewis Stevenson.
He has been capped.
What?
Meant to that. Remember the Peru? Peru away. Yeah, oh, that end of season Scottish. One.
Was his mate Hanlon, isn't he? He's been capped.
Yeah, it's a Czech Republic game for him.
So what is it, six Scottish
players, over 350 top flight appearances, but no caps.
It was the Bomber Brown's not in there, isn't he?
Yeah, since 98-99, yeah. The appearances all.
Yes. Oh, this is a tough one.
It is. I'm thinking more up Tony Watt Street.
Well, man, Andy Halliday won't be one of them, will he?
Nah.
350 top flights, loads. But 10
he's got
seasons.
A load of appearances, but they played a few in England, didn't
he? And championship and stuff for Rangers. That's pretty much 10 full seasons at top flight.
More mastery, that's.
Well, I just feel like a lot of these guys would have been dotting around when you were breaking in. Because if you're starting after that, you're reaching your 350 mark.
Murray Davidson got a cap, didn't he?
He capped as well, yeah.
That's a good shout, by the way.
He got one cap.
1 minute.
What is it?
Of one cap.
But still a cap.
Oh, no, of course it is. Sorry, Murray, if you're listening, just say.
I got about 8 minutes and I've got a cap, yeah, so I'm going to take that.
It was yours against Czech Republic.
Yeah.
We discussed this.
Yep. Nice.
Good. Remember that. Anyway.
Oof. Well, I'm struggling. Yeah. I need to think in time.
Who are the.
Mark Reynolds?
Yes. He's been in squads, but never capped. 391. Announced his retirement from football, actually, did he not? Yesterday, yep. I noticed. Well done, Mark Reynolds. 391 top flight appearances. Likes of Motherwell and Aberdeen, was in Scotland squads but never capped. That's good. Only five more to get. Let's bring in Tom, who's in Paisley. How are you, Tom?
Gordon, good evening. Good evening.
Hi, Tom.
Alec,
what are you thinking good tonight evening. Tom, are you a St Mirren fan?
Unfortunately I am.
Right, what's happening?
We're not talking about last night. Last night's bye. We knew.
Oh, is it?
We've got to concentrate on Sunday against Alec and Tony's team.
That's right. Mm.
I spoke to Alec at East End Park last Tuesday.
Yep.
And it was all lovely to see Alec. A pleasure to see you again.
And you, mate.
And I seen you last night at doing a bit of spying on St Mirren last night, I noticed.
Oof. Tom's spying on you.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you're spying on St Mirren. What's that like, right, when you're from a lower league, scouting to play against a Premiership team who are not in a good spot, but have you got that bit in the back of your head that if there's one thing they can do this season, it's cups, clearly?
Yeah, and I think Stephen Robinson will be looking to try and get a second stint at Hampden. And as we were saying earlier on, whoever wins the Rangers Celtic game will most certainly get a boost for that. And I think Stephen Robinson will be going at this match at the weekend with the same thing, because to take a provincial club to win a League Cup and then obviously get to a semi-final, and you know they have the potential to go on and win the thing, so we will obviously be trying to kind of stop them doing that at the weekend, but they're capable of a major upset if it comes to a cup final, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think if you ask Stephen Robinson now if he can get to Hampden again, win the League Cup and finish 10th, a point above 11th, I think he'll take it and I think he'll reset. Obviously it would be, he'd probably be the man you'd want to go to a final to now. He's the way they set up in cups, it suits them, but obviously their league form's dipped a little bit. But no, Stephen Robinson's a good manager, and I think sometimes it happens, confidence, whatever it is, it just doesn't click. But they've got some good players there, and over the years they've knew how to play. Is it three top six finishes in a row?
Aye.
And it was the first time in how many years St Mirren done it, so I think they're on a bad run of form, but I do think they can come out it, and hopefully that's obviously Monday they start doing it. But
Tom, do you still have that confidence, hoping that you're a cup specialist at the moment, even if the league form isn't going well?
Well, I'd like to, no disrespect, you're coming for you, Gordon. I'd like to get the league sorted out first, mm-hmm. and the couple foot here itself.
Fair enough. Where is it going wrong in the league then? I know you were keen to not talk about last night, but I can't let you off that easy.
Right. Okay, last night we missed a big guy up front, big Mandan up front. I think there was nothing up front, no disrespect. Tony Watt's a great player as well from St Mirren. I wish he was playing with St Mirren just now, actually. But so see, big Mikko Mandan, we missed him last night. And until we scored, there was only one team going to win it, and it was Dundee United. We didn't feel we were going to score a second one, my opinion.
What did you make of it, Alex?
I thought the boy O'Hara had a real good opportunity in the first half when the ball came through to him, and he just slashed it wide. But it was a really good run into the box, and I think Phillips hit the crossbar post, the top of the kind of stanchion there, from a long throw. So you know they did create opportunities on the night, and we left it 1-1. And as we go,
you missed a big moment.
I missed a big moment, and when we got to the car, we heard the roar, and we just surmised. Obviously, kind of, they had a wee look at it and so forth to see if there was any issue with VAR. But and then, obviously, we were sitting down the road, and then obviously the Fatah scored the goal.
Fatah, so yeah,
he was decent, man, by the way.
Yeah, he's a decent player. So, but again, I think it was synonymous to where some men are at the moment, and they'll be looking for that one to try and kind of turn the form around at the weekend.
Is that a symptom of where you are, Tom, when you get goals like that conceded, a crazy own goal and then a quite bizarre penalty given away as well?
In our season, losing silly goals, by the way. We're losing silly goals right, left and centre.
I think that, because Stephen Robinson kind of said as much last night, didn't he? I mean, if anyone hasn't seen it, this keeper makes a save, it pops up, there is a nudge of sorts on Marcus Fraser, but I've not seen anyone even really claim, so correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen Robinson wasn't angry about that, was he, saying that there was a huge push? Did
I kept watching it back and I thought there was something there, but I think Marcus Fraser's more put off with the push rather than being pushed, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I think he's expecting to be pushed and trying to make sure it doesn't go in the back of the net, and then obviously it does.
It's like one of the ones that would make your Christmas DVD that you would get.
Yeah, Danny Baker one. Yeah. I genuinely didn't know I didn't know what happened, because obviously, because I thought it was a really good save. I think it was a smart save by George, and he managed to get a strong hand on it. And I felt as if it was coming back, but I looked to Martin, I says, what just happened there? And then it obviously came up, Marcus Fraser had headed in. Then after the game, I seen the footage as we were driving back down the road. So, yeah, listen, these things happen.
Are you worried about the bottom of the table, Tom, or we have enough to escape 11th place?
Gordon, I think we're good enough to get through, but the most important thing is to see Sunday's game will take care of itself and may the best team win. But I hope someone, being a St Mirren supporter, but I'd like to wish Patrick Tittle all the best as well on Sunday.
I appreciate that, Tom. Thanks, mate.
Question is, will you guys maybe be meeting in the playoffs again in a few months?
God knows, you start stirring that up.
Gordon, I was saying the league is a priority. I think the cup will take care of itself.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll find out the weekend. Thank you, Tom. In Paisley. It's fascinating that, isn't it? Does the arithmetic point to anything other than Kilmarnock or St Mirren at the moment? So Kilmarnock occupy a, and again, I like it when there's a bit of symmetry and consistency. They've now played the same amount of games. So Kilmarnock are in that 11th place on 21 points. They're 3 points behind St Mirren on 24. Dundee are only 4 ahead of that. Aberdeen are 5 ahead, and then it's, you know, Dundee United are probably out of sight from it.
I still think there's a twist and turn. Genuinely, I think
seriously.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the reason why. If Kilmarnock can nick a win from somewhere, then all of a sudden you're looking at 4 points. I don't think 4 points when you kind of get towards that split is a massive turnaround, because all you need is one win against the team that's directly above you.
I think Dundee are quite good though.
They played Dundee the last game before the split, I'm sure, as well. Well,
there you go. So what an opportunity. Did they not play Livingston as well?
I think they've got two winnable games. I think they play Hearts, they play Livingston, don't know the other game, and then they've got Dundee. I think they've got two winnable games, and I know it's easy to guess, but you win two games before the split, they're on 27 points.
So you don't think it is just a shootout between those two for 11th? Do I feel like looking at performances this season as well, though? Because again, we can, if we're just looking at the numbers, St Mirren clearly have been good and won the cup and all the rest. Kilmarnock have got their struggles. They look like they were looking up a bit. John Joe's injury. It just feels like Dundee have got
They've got a little bit about them, Gordon. But what I'm saying is, if they get that one win, I don't think 4 points is done and dusted. Mm-hmm. I still think there's a wee bit of fight in the dog.
Yeah. I think Aberdeen are just too far.
Aberdeen have got 1 point in the last five games.
Totally, but that's what I'm saying. 8 points is still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, when you look at the form, Gordon, their form is, what, 8 defeats in the last 10. So,
but what you need then is fine, because
for them to win 3 or 4 out
Aberdeen could keep that let's say even Aberdeen keep that run going, Dundee, St Mirren and Kilmarnock all at the same time need to outperform that run by quite a bit.
Basically, Kilmarnock have got 7 out of the next 9 against the bottom 6. That's what you're wanting. Obviously, they play Hearts, which is going to be a difficult game. I do think maybe it's 7 points too much with a game in hand. I think
I'm going to give you the lowdown. Out of the next 4 games, 3 of them are at home. One's against
Kilmarnock, sorry.
Yes, yep. Kilmarnock. Hearts, Livingston, Hibs away, and the last one before the split's Dundee. So you have Livingston and Dundee. Yeah. So for me, that's still very much in your hands.
And even if you draw with one of them and try and draw against Hearts, obviously they're coming to an Astro, you take 5 points, you're right back in the mix with the split still to play. Don't get me wrong, it's all hypotheticals, it's ifs and maybes. And I think there's still a twist. I think Neil McCann is a decent manager. I think by all accounts he gets them playing, and the only problem is the games that they've lost, they have been quite difficult ones. They get beat 5-1 against Falkirk, and then even the Celtic game to drop for 2-0 to 3-2 last minute, I think that kind of points towards a kind of bad luck season, a kind of bad luck story. But no, I think they've got players in the building. It's a shame what happened to the boy John Jules. I know they signed him in a contract, but he looked as if he could maybe have dragged them through the kind of tough times.
Let's go back to the phones with a big game at the other end of the table in the focus tonight with James in East Kilbride. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. How you doing? You okay?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight? We're about 25 from kick-off. You think Celtic get the business done?
Hopefully. I'll kind of do a wee flashback. I was I phoned up when the Aberdeen game was postponed originally, basically saying how I was pretty gutted at the time because, I could see games like this coming up towards the tail end of the season and not wanting it to happen because they essentially now become must wins. And I think tonight reflects that. I honestly think that if we don't win tonight, as in we don't draw, or we don't pick up a point at all, I think it's done for us. I think the fact that we have Hearts and Rangers above us, every team is going to drop points. Obviously, Hearts and Rangers are going to drop points, but I just think now the gap will be too much considering it's 2 teams we now need to rely on to drop points, as well as us who, I've no doubt, are going to drop more points. So I think tonight, if we don't pick up a point, the league's done for us.
So a point would be enough to keep your hopes alive, though?
Mm. No, I don't even think a point. No.
Yeah. This is a venue that you've had a really good record at. This is not a good Aberdeen side this season. But is the Celtic team worthy of your full confidence at the moment, even though they had that second half at the weekend?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look at Hibs. I mean, Hibs had the best at Parkhead since, 2010?
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, this is the stuff that's happening this season. I actually had a wee look during the week because I was trying to think, and I had to actually go online to see. I actually can't, because it wouldn't let me search that far back, actually. I can't remember the last time Celtic had lost this many league games, at this point of the season. I couldn't actually go as far back to see how many, but I cannot remember us losing this many games in a season at this point. It's just been a season of old. And when I say old, I'm talking about, 70s, 80s old. It's just unheard of now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if Celtic don't lose another league game, which might be an ask, but if they don't, is it 7 at the moment?
7 currently,
to win a title with 7 league defeats is certainly not like anything we've seen in a long time. Like, obviously, there are different ways to accumulate your points total, but what if Hearts have only, they've lost 4, is that right?
Rangers, yeah.
And Rangers have only lost 2, and Motherwell have lost.
Rangers would be kicking.
Motherwell have lost 3.
3, yes.
With the amount of draws they've got, I looked at that earlier.
Well, so, yeah, Motherwell and Rangers are the drawers of the top 4, aren't they?
Well, Motherwell, that's what everybody's talking about. That's what this week's been about in training. Motherwell started, how many was it, 3 draws out of 3 or something?
They've only lost 3 games.
But the start of the season,
yeah,
if they turned them into wins, they'd be comfortably up pushing Hearts. But obviously it took them a little bit of time. Don't get me wrong, they started all right. But if they'd got this form a little bit earlier in the season.
It was funny because they haven't had a lot of televised games, only been in Sky twice. It was the 2 Rangers games. So I don't know if, I think it's understandable people don't watch every Motherwell game. Why would you? But actually the performance levels were kind of always there. They just couldn't quite score at the start, or maybe or they think there was a couple of goalkeeping mistakes and stuff like that. But it's in terms of like it taking a while for the style to bed in, I don't actually even think that was necessarily the case.
I went to that game, they should have beat them. That was the one, the goalkeeping error. He and even at that, if he, I know it's all hypotheticals, but that game, I seen that Celtic would be on 52 points, they'd be on 56. And
you
that
could
is,
do that though, but, they were 3-0 up at Tynecastle.
Again, it's they're a breath of fresh air this year, because they're just doing everything against the curve. 29 goal difference is incredible for a team like Motherwell.
James, what about the team tonight where it, you know, it's Hatate's now back in undeservedly after the weekend? Dean Murray keeps his place, Chivancha leads the line. Anything that you do or don't like about it?
No comment, because I mean it's been a chopman change side all season. You know, there's not been a sort of stable kind of go to. Obviously, I know injuries came into that as well, but you know, we've not really had a guaranteed starting 11 this season. Whereas previous seasons, all right, maybe not a guaranteed starting 11, but you pretty much knew week in, week out, you know, who was going to start. So again, it just goes into this season being unlike no other, you know, with everything that's going on. And again, I've heard this a lot for Celtic fans, you know, that you wish your team not to win, but, you know, this could be the season that, you know, is the wake-up call that it looks like maybe many Celtic fans want to happen at Celtic.
Yeah, I think we took that one call, was it last night, the night before, saying every Celtic fan, I actively hope we do not win the title, so that it sends some sort of shockwaves through the club. I know it's a strange mindset to be in, but these are strange times. So thank you to James in East Kilbride. It's a brilliant question, this, isn't it? Owen in Springburn says, since 98-99, can you name six Scottish players with over 350 top flight appearances but no international caps? Big thanks to our sponsor Arcoplan Glasgow on this as well. You got Mark Reynolds is the only one.
Another Motherwell one, Stevie Hamill.
One cap against Sweden. Should have had more. That left foot, honestly.
I had none.
One.
Vigas?
No.
Keith Lasley?
Yes. He's top of this. He's got 414 top flight appearances.
Did he play in England? That's what threw me off at the start.
A little bit, but same with Stevie Hamill. They both went down. Yeah, both of them. Keith Lasley is correct.
I've got a couple of wild shouts here.
It's time.
Rory McKenzie?
Not bad, by the way. 344. So he's not far off.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good shout.
Mark O'Hara?
Nope.
Not even close. Got it. That wasn't.
He's not on my hit the post list.
Here's one, and we had a wee kind of look at each other. Did Russell Anderson get capped with Scotland?
He's not on the list. Forget him.
Wow. Back to the drawing board.
Let me have a look. How many caps?
Anything from you, Alex Ray?
Nothing. Vikings was one I had.
Just leaving it over to.
Yeah, Tony's. It's Tony's generation, man. Come on.
See how many caps. Oh, he played in England quite a bit.
Did you two know one of you's got huge responsibility tonight? I don't know if I explained this to you later on.
Caps.
Yeah, Tony's going to do it. He said.
Are you?
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's a
wee joke.
Anyway. 11 caps.
All will be explained. Let's do it.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Okay, right now in Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got tickets to give away to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It's running from the 11th to the 29th of March across the city. Not only are we giving away tickets though, give you a bit of a night out as well. Chuck in some food and drink as well. So some really good prizes here. Shameful. Did you hear about last night? Honestly, how typical. We read the one out, whatever the prize was, and Gordon Deal said, that was my birthday. And straight away the organisers went on and said, well, tell Gordon he can have tickets.
Come along as well.
And a meal for his birthday.
There's a shot.
And a meal.
Incredible scenes. So whatever date I say tonight, just claim it's your birthday. Right. Anyway, tonight it's a pair of tickets to Alan Davies' show Think Ahead at the King's on the 29th of March. Is that not your birthday?
Funny enough.
happy birthday.
Now that's the guy who played Jonathan Creek. He's been in QI, Taskmaster, loads of other shows, big name. And we're chucking in two courses and two drinks at the Drake Woodlands Road as well. So all you have to do is give us the punchline to this football joke that Tony Watt is going to deliver.
Don't make a mistake, on you go.
Why can't you play football with pigs?
Wow, give us that again.
Why can't you play football with pigs?
Hilarious this, by the way. Just be prepared. So 01419511025 if you think you know the punchline, and you could be off to see Alan Davis at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Over 18s only. You have until the end of this break.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're building up to kick off at Pittodrie. I've actually got some team news to tell you about in just a second. Interesting change, but let's do this first.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Right, we're going to give away tickets to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. The lines are now closed. Thank you very much to everyone who tried to take part. You can hang up the phone and try again tomorrow. Tonight is tickets to Alan Davis's show Think Ahead at the Kings, 29th of March, plus two courses and two drinks at the Drake. All you had to do was give us the answer to Tony Watt's joke, which was, ask the question,
why can't you play football with pigs?
Stuart and Maybole is on the line. How are you, Stuart?
The backside's gone yourself.
And the punchline is,
because they hog the ball.
They hog them. Look at that. It's the delivery as well from Stuart on the line. Superb. You are off to Alan Davis's show, 29th of March, and you've got a couple of drinks and some food at the Drake on us. Happy with that, Stuart?
Oh, brilliant. I'll tell the missus it's a wee birthday present I got. I'll
not
tell her I got it for free.
Oh, now you're talking. She's not listening. Thank you very much to Stuart on the line. Don't forget, Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're giving away more prizes tomorrow from 6.
Brilliant.
Check out glasgowcomedyfestival.com if you're not lucky enough to win them here on the show. Brilliant, well done to Stuart. Let's go back to Pittodrie, because a bit of late drama before the game's even kicked off, Gabriel.
Yeah, Gordon, Celtic centre-half Dane Murray has pulled up in the warm-up. He's not going to be starting. Coming in for him is Benjamin Arthur. Obviously not played much since his loan move from Brentford on deadline day. And perhaps not the ideal place for him to come in. Pittodrie, he makes his first start for Celtic. I'll just run through the team again for you then, Gordon. It'll be Sinisalo in goal, Araujo, Arthur, Scales and Tierney as a back four. McGregor, Hatate, McCowan in midfield. Yang, Chvanchra and Tunekti up top. And just going through the Dons again, Mitov in goal, Devlin, Milne, Malloy and Frame as a back four. Geiger and Nilsson in front of them. Olasanya, Cameron and Armstrong behind Kevin Nisbet.
Well, honestly, first of all, Dane Murray, that's a sore one, isn't it? We're talking about getting a run in the team and having, and all of a sudden he's pulled up in the warm-up. So it's a shame for him. But that we said, that was one of the debatable points in the team. And now it is Benjamin Arthur, so a chance for him to show what he can do.
Who was the caller earlier on? Says he's similar to
Van Dijk. So
Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Van Dijk. So, I can't wait to watch him.
Looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table.
And again, someone else will gain, Joel Mvuka, who we spoke about earlier. He goes onto the bench.
Did he travel?
So he must have travelled.
That would have been some journey, actually, if he never. Eh? It's
opportunities.
That's the thing. These are the games that kind of can make you, in terms of, now this boy's got a chance to show everybody what he's all about, the boy Arthur. And then if they're 2 or 3 nil up, Martin Hill said he's done well in training. Why not throw him on? See, maybe appease the fans a little bit, show why they've signed him. I think it's a good opportunity for both of them if it works out that way.
Did you see him traipsing off, Gabriel, or was it fairly low-key? Sometimes you get a wee clue when you're watching the warm-up.
Yeah, I actually didn't see it, Gordon, because Celtic are warming up at the other end from where I'm sitting. We were notified by the Celtic media team straight away that Murray is coming off. I don't think it was anything too serious, but did then look, and it was Arthur warming up with the other members of the back four. So he will be starting.
There we go. You happier tonight at your work, you know, back in your local surroundings? You feel at home up there in the northeast?
Feel at home up here in the northeast. It's still freezing. I left Glasgow today and the sun was out. Came up to Aberdeen and the heated gilet is on. It's springtime. Gilet still needed.
Did I get commission off them for me? I think I put you onto that piece of clothing.
Do you know, I've actually, my dad won't be listening, so no worries telling him that. It's his 60th this weekend, and my girlfriend's bought him a heated gilet for his birthday.
Not,
because
not the business. See when you cover football games for a living. Oh,
really?
Is
it just a button you press?
Yeah, charge it up and on you go.
How long does it last for?
Well, it lasts a game. But sometimes, you know, you talk about getting the benefit. Sometimes I'll just see how I go, turn it on at half time, maybe. Just depends. Do you stay at home when you got there, Gabriel?
I do. Save Barra a bit of coin, don't worry.
He's getting looked after.
Save now for his next trip away.
Ah, exactly.
Abroad.
Okay, well, it's nearly as abroad, not for him. Thank you to Gabriel setting the scene there. That late change. Benjamin Arthur in for Dane Murray. And then we go back to it for the weekend all of a sudden. Let's say Dane Murray's fine for the weekend, but Benjamin Arthur plays brilliantly tonight.
Is Trusty back the weekend?
Oh, he is. Sorry for the cup. Yeah, he is.
So, but then he's suspended one after that. Again, it
depends how he does.
Yeah, if he does okay and they get a clean sheet, he has to play the next game and get a little bit of rhythm. But again, that won't be helping Celtic, the fact it's
Chopman Changer.
Yeah, it's Dane Murray this week, Benjamin Arthur, also then Trusty.
Because you do lack that balance when it's Trusty, don't you? Because they're both left-sided. Yeah. Anyway, right, let's see what you've got in this teaser. You've got work to do. Since 98-99, six Scottish players, over 350 top-flight appearances, but no caps. Keith Lasley and Mark Reynolds. Oh, you've got work to do.
How many St Johnston?
None.
Barry Smith?
Well, some of them might have played.
Liam Barry Craig?
No. Nope. Scored their own goal last night.
Marcus Fraser?
Marcus Fraser.
What the hell?
Okay, played for loads of clubs. Aberdeen, Rangers,
Richard
Partick
Foster.
Thistle. Yep, Richard Foster. This one
he played for St John's?
Solely Kilmarnock, I think, but racked up a lot of appearances.
Didn't it?
No. 407 top flight, I think, for Kelly.
Buck?
No.
That's a good shout. That's a great shout.
James Fowler.
Fowler?
Oh, I wouldn't have got that.
No. And the last one, the two clubs you need to think for this guy, St Johnston, sorry, and Hibs.
I said Liam Craig?
Yeah.
Did you see him?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
When?
I think it was right after I asked that question.
Right, Liam Craig, well done. We'll see what happens tonight at Pittodrie and reflect on it tomorrow from 6. Have a good one.